This is a Cambridge Service Alliance podcast. www.cambridgeservicealliance.org.
Claire Weiler, and the title of my paper is E-Mobility Services.
Claire Weiler, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Service Alliance podcast series here today. We're looking at your paper, E-Mobility Services, New Economic Models for Transport in the Digital Economy. First of all, how did Paris go about launching its electric vehicle scheme? I believe it came hot foot following the success of bicycle sharing schemes.
Yes, indeed. So the municipality came up with this concept in 2009. And then after the bidding process determined which company was going to actually provide the service, the first 250 cars were launched in December of 2011. So just about a year ago. And I do think it was kind of a follow-up on the Vélib bicycle sharing program. And it was just to offer basically a new mode of transportation for Parisians, a new option to get around. And this service really combines a bit of public and a bit of private transportation features. So people can drive in their own cars individually when they feel like it on their own schedule, but it also ultimately is a public service.
And why did they think it was needed? Was it the success of the bicycle sharing scheme? So Paris wanted to innovate, it wanted to cut down congestion, think of the environment. What were the drivers for the introduction? Because it's a world first.
Yes, well, there are definitely a number of reasons. I mean, first of all, it's important to note that 60% of Parisians do not own a car at the moment. So this is because of cost. This car sharing scheme really just offers the convenience of having a private car essentially to people without this high barrier of the initial cost of buying one. So Parisians can save up to 7,000 euros per year by subscribing to this project. Yes, so there's definitely an environmental motivation behind it, which is essentially to reduce emissions, because the electricity that's used to charge these vehicles is essentially CO2 free. And obviously, electric cars reduce pollution in city centers, and they reduce congestion. So if you can use one of these cars to service 15 people in a day, you're getting a lot of benefit and use advantage relative to a regular car that's only used by one person.
So here I am in the center of Paris. I'm looking for a car. Tell me how I go about hailing an electric car. Is it like a taxi? Do I need my mobile phone and to put in some keywords and numbers? How do I go about hailing an electric vehicle?
Okay, so that's actually quite different from hailing a taxi, because these cars are parked at stations. Basically, you could use any map on your mobile phone or in the city to find one of these stations. And once you're there, it's all automatic. Basically, you follow the instructions on the station screen that will guide you through the different steps, and you purchase a subscription from this, and then off you go. You know, you get a code and you can take out one of these cars at the station.
Now, I believe it's a large collaboration, not just of the council in Paris, the national local government subsidies, I suppose, at the moment, but also the car manufacturers, because you've got someone who makes the vehicle and someone else who makes the batteries.
So at the moment, yes, there's one company, Bolloré, that kind of fulfills all the different functions of the value chain that you need to provide such a service. So it is working in partnership with the municipality. But essentially, Bolloré is responsible for manufacturing the blue car, which is the electric car that's used. It's operating in a joint venture with a battery manufacturer in Italy, called Pininfarina, to get the batteries. It also has subsidiaries that are doing all of the energy management system kind of stuff. So they provide the charging infrastructure, they provide the charging services to users. And finally, Bolloré also provides the end user kind of customer service features.
Okay, so we've got this large collaboration. Clearly they've researched what my needs may be, but I'm looking after three generations. I've got a granny, I've got a child or two children as well. Would we all fit in one of these electric vehicles? Presumably, they're quite small.
It is a four-seater car, this car. It's not a big one, ultimately. It is a compact car, but you would have enough seats to fit your two children and your granny, if not, you know, in the utmost comfort, at least definitely satisfactory comfort. You know, keep in mind, this is really advantageous for short city trips. You can use it to go shopping, definitely, and maybe take it to IKEA in the suburbs, etc., but you wouldn't be able to bring a whole load of shopping back from IKEA, for example.
So as well as the environment, have people thought about affordability? Because if you're coming into the centre of Paris, you're parking your car or you're taking a bus or a train ride in, then you've got to rent another car. Is it affordable?
So there are different tariffs that you subscribe to depending on user preferences, right? You can subscribe to an annual tariff, which is 12 euros per month in the end, or you can get it just for a week, which is, I think, 10 or 15 euros for the week. In addition to that, it does cost between 5 and 7 euros for each half hour of use. You do have to compare this. I mean, compared with regular car, it definitely is more affordable. Now, if you're just the occasional user who hails a taxi when they need to drive around, this service could be cheaper.
Okay, so here I am. I'm an inventor in Paris, enjoying my bicycle ride around. You haven't yet introduced the electric vehicle, but I'm wondering how, if I were to introduce an electric vehicle, I could get everybody to collaborate and structure my business model. How do we know when people break even and where the value lies in that business model? Because you've got to get a lot of people together and to collaborate, and presumably for some years before it becomes profitable.
Yes, well, for the moment, it's really operating as a public-private partnership, which is a certain type of structure where the government provides some subsidies towards the cost of the vehicles and the initial cost of the project. Now, most of the investment is actually done in Bodoré, in the company that provides the whole service. They would need about 80,000 subscriptions, annual subscriptions, to break even. At the moment, they have, out of the 40,000 subscriptions they have only around 14,000, I believe, that are annual. So they're quite a way away from breaking even, and they're expecting to around 2018.
So Claire, are there other ways of capturing value in these business models?
Yeah, so Bolloré intend to sell their blue car on the EV market. And in a sense, this service really offers them a first mover advantage in the EV market because customers will already be familiar with their products and they will already have the know-how in this business. At the same time, the software in the vehicles and in the charging systems allow them to capture data on usage patterns and users' driving needs. Finally, I think there's value in the software for managing charging. So basically, electric cars can be smart charged at times when the demand on the electricity grid is low and costs are minimized for the refueling of the vehicle. And this is something that's completely new and specific to electric vehicles.
So you'd have to really get this business model, have a look at the analysis and the data before deciding whether you wanted to introduce it, because not only is it a large collaboration, there's quite a lot of detail in what the future value may be to all the collaborators.
Yes, definitely. And I think there are a lot of companies in different sectors, particularly the IT sector and the energy utility sector, that are working on this at the moment through various programs, including in the UK.
And so, therefore, are we likely now to see other cities copy? Because we know London copied Paris's electric bike scheme. So, you know, Mexico, New York. I mean, where are we likely to see the electric vehicle scheme introduced next? Because there are pressing environmental concerns in all cities all over the world.
Yes, well, there are definitely many other EV car sharing programs, such as in different cities in Germany, and that's done by Daimler. In the UK, I mean, I think you're seeing a growth in the car sharing industry. For example, you have Zipcar, that's a company providing this type of services in various cities, including London and Cambridge. They're not necessarily focusing on EVs yet, though.
And so why is the jury out? What are they waiting for? Are people waiting to see if Paris can make a success of it?
I mean, it is quite possible. We will only be able to tell in about 2 or 3 years if this success has been commercial success.
And so what are the strengths and weaknesses of the business model? Presumably, there's conviction in there that people want it to succeed. It's not just about profit. It's about saving the planet.
Yeah, it's partly that. I mean, I think electric vehicles offer a completely different driving experience to users just because of the IT, the sophisticated software in the vehicle, etc. I mean, usually once people try an electric vehicle, they like it and they're a lot more likely to buy one on their next purchase. I mean, one of the advantages of such a service is that it really familiarizes people with electric vehicles and informs them and educates them in their decision when they're buying their next car. Obviously, another advantage is that you're optimizing the use of of a fleet by managing it centrally, and you get a lot more use out of each one of your cars.
Are we just waiting to see, you know, that profitability 2 or 3 years' time? And as soon as Paris can say, well, all our partners are happy, you know, the car manufacturer, the battery manufacturers, the municipality, then this will be the green light for others to copy what Paris is doing.
I think so, in a way. I mean, you have to keep in mind that the Autolib service in Paris was intended as a public service. So their focus is a lot more on, you know, providing a public service to the users. And there are many different alternatives for business models, you know, that would depend more on being profitable.
Okay, so just finally now, if we look, Claire, at your research, New Economic Models for Transport in the Digital Economy, e-mobility services, do you think that it's the public that's going to drive the need for electronic vehicles? They don't want to sort of stay stuck in traffic for an hour as they drive into the city. They want to park their cars on the outskirts, not necessarily take a bus or a train or a tram in, but actually have transportation of their own. It kind of combines personal with public, doesn't it? You can still stay in your own vehicle.
I think it will be a consumer-driven market once drivers like get to know these vehicles better. But I think for the moment, they're driven by the landscape of environmental policy, so that's very friendly towards everything that is targeted at reducing emissions. And you also have this supply-side drive. So auto manufacturers are all at the moment producing or, you know, in projects to produce electric vehicles. You have Mitsubishi, Nissan, GM, and a load of startup companies that are all starting to produce these vehicles. So I think we will see more and more in the next 3 years.
And has there been any consumer satisfaction surveys? Do we know what people think when they tick the white form as to whether they've been happy with the Paris electric vehicle?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's lots of customer surveys in different places where there have been trials and demonstrations of EVs. I haven't read any for the Paris case, but certainly the Technology Strategy Board in the UK has published reports on customer experiences with EVs. And they're generally, I mean, you see a lot of range anxiety and kind of apprehension at the beginning of them, which completely vanishes by the end of these trials. So I think customers will, you know, once they try them out, will be satisfied.
Claire Weiler, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Service Alliance podcast series here today on your paper, E-Mobility Services, New Economic Models for Transport in the Digital Economy. I think we better go out and hail an e-vehicle.
Thank you very much.
This is a Cambridge Service Alliance podcast, www.cambridgeservicealliance.org.